Sunday Night Saffron.
Triple J.
This is Sunday Night Saffron on Triple J, and in the studio right now is Goff with a small
How are you, fellas? I'm sorry, I've come in too early.
No, that's perfect timing.
I just heard my name. I thought I'd say hello. So, you know, it's...
And you're a filmmaker, which is, like, hard enough as it is, because that's why so many films are bad, because it's hard to do. But then on top of that, you have the added challenge of being legally blind.
That is correct. Yes, indeed. Yes, I don't have a great deal of eyesight, so, yeah, I am legally blind.
So if your shots are out of frame or whatever, no one can pick you up on it, because I feel like they're just like, you know...
Some of the shots aren't framed fantastically.
I liked how they were framed. I was like a hypothetical. I wasn't like
no. Well,
were you born blind or tell us?
When I was 12 weeks old, I had a brain hemorrhage, so that kind of ruined my vision. But going back to your previous point, you are correct. I couldn't really tell until the film was sort of done, how everything was framed. So it was kind of luck more than a lot of things, really, because I am able to see a TV screen. So once I'd finished editing, I was able to burn it onto a DVD, and then I did have to change a few little things here and there. But for the most part, I got most of it pretty good the first time around.
No, it was good. Now, are people disappointed when they find out that you can see a little bit? You know what I mean? When the story of being... the filmmaker who can't see would be a lot cleaner if you just absolutely could see nothing.
Well, I suppose that's one way of looking at it, but I am legally blind. I have a disability card that says so.
This isn't like an expose, you know, like where I expose the guy who's going around saying he's illegally blind. But hang on, you can see a TV screen. Most people would be happy with that. You know, like everyone these days, they're just... you know, sit on the couch and play World of Warcraft or whatever.
Well, see, I can't do things like that. Video games are out for me. But if I'm sort of nose to screen, I can see what's going on. So, like, I can go to the films, and if I sit in the front, I can kind of tell what's happening.
God. First, you can watch TV. Now you can just go to the cinema and watch. What kind of blind person are? Anyway, I've got to stop this because it sounds like basically I'm picking on a blind person.
Rude. Yeah. I heard the last talk break, and firstly, it's mental health, and now it's disability. I'll tell you, John, you'll have an angry mob out the front soon.
I don't know. This show was never like this. It's suddenly this week. It's just like, yeah, we're just going people in wheelchairs,
the reason why
blind people. Now, tell us about your film. It's a very entertaining film. It's your story.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I felt that there's not a huge amount of understanding when it comes to disability and mental health, as maybe you've demonstrated. So I thought that the best way to explain it to people is to sort of educate. And to do that, I thought I would tell my own story, because a lot of different things have happened to me with education and employment and also, you know, wanting to make film and that sort of stuff is a bit of an unusual career path for someone that can't see very well. So, yeah, I thought the best way to go about it was to tell my story.
And can you give us an insight into this? We were talking about this on the show the other week, and I'm going to credit it to a stand-up comedian I saw during the Melbourne Comedy Festival, because I know he's just – everyone's about trying to trip me up like I've stolen some bit off some other comedian or whatever. Anyway, he brought up this whole issue. His name's Ryan Coffey, and he brought up this whole issue in a kind of throwaway line and a bit of a – of if you're born blind – how do you know whether you're straight or gay? Because for us people with eyesight, we kind of tie in attraction so much with visuals. So can you give us an insight into that?
Well, it's personality, isn't it, John? You know, it's you know, if you like somebody, if, you know, they've got to be able to, you know, communicate with you and, you know, share common interests and whatnot. So it's not all about looks. It's a bit of a, you know, it's not, you know, it's a bit shallow, really, just to think of it just about pure and simple looks. And as I guess, you know.
But are there other things, like is it the sound of voices? Like, again, now it sounds like I'm going blind people and gay people. I have like some racist, homophobic, anti-disability show. But like I get on well with guys too, but I just know I'm... I guess I'm trying to figure out how you find out whether you're gay or straight without eyesight.
I'm straight, so I'm probably the wrong person to be answering this question because I'll end up offending the gay community as well. And you know, I think I don't know that that's the best idea because I want them to watch my film.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
You know, as many people as I can. I don't want to exclude people. So you know, if you're gay, straight, I think you should.
Yeah, cool.
Watch
but
it.
So that like you get turned on by the sound of women's voices, or I guess you can touch them also, can't you?
Well, that's it. Yeah, no, you can. Well, if they say yes, you can. If they don't let you, then it's probably a good idea not to. But yeah, voices, touch, you know, smell, all those other senses kick in. You know, it's not just a visual thing. So no, I honestly, I probably can't answer that question fully because I'm not gay, I guess. So,
sure.
Yeah.
No. Anyway, moving on. one real exciting aspect of your film for very old people. Is when they find out, and you just drop this bombshell on the audience. And by the way, anyone under 82 will not be excited by this next sentence. So
I think I know what you're going to say, John. But so, yes, go on. And I agree. I agree.
You bring it up in the film is that you're the son of Ugly Dave Gray, and everyone over 82 listens to our show is just their mind is blown. Whilst everyone under 82 is like, what? They're hitting Google on their iPhone to Ugly Dave Gray. Tell us who Ugly Dave Gray is, your father.
They're probably wondering why somebody would christen their child Ugly for a start, I would imagine, because that doesn't look very good on a birth certificate. But my dad was probably big in the 70s and 80s with a lot of game shows and doing stand-up comedy and that sort of stuff. So, yeah, he had...
He smoked a cigar on television?
That's correct, yes. He did a lot of politically incorrect things on television,
did,
I think.
Did he host Celebrity Tattletales, or am I getting...
He did indeed. Yes, wow. Yeah, you're on the money there. He hosted... I think he also hosted Celebrity Squares as well. I'm not too sure, but I know he did Tattletales. Yeah, you're on the money.
Yeah, so it's like the kind of celebrity version of Wheel of Fortune. I'm just trying to explain it for the kiddies, you know.
To be honest, John, I've only ever seen brief clips of Tattletales, so I know very little about that particular show. He'd done a number of game shows, but Blankety Blanks is something that people might remember. That was what, 78, 79, so that's a long while back now.
There's a record and cassette shop around the corner from my house that's like owned by a person that you hope when you walk in there is like a charming old person, because you know, like when you see like old people, and he's at this, like, he works at this record and cassette shop, and it's just like madly cassettes piled up everywhere and old records, and you go in there and you're expecting him to be like this lovable eccentric, but he's quite bitter and doesn't want to talk to you, so it's kind of annoying. Anyway, there's a point to this. Anyway, I went in there years ago and I was like feeling like, oh, I should, you know, I can't just come in here and look around, I'll buy a cassette. And I bought Ugly Dave Gray's cassette. And then when I went behind the counter, I tried to talk to him, you know, an old person, and I'm coming in here, and you know, and but he was just really didn't want to talk, nothing. And then I got home, and the cassette didn't even work, by the way.
Well, you should have taken it back for a full refund.
I know, but I felt a bit petty. Cause it was
I think people might have taken it back for a full refund anyway after they heard it. So you know, you wouldn't be out of play. I shouldn't say that. That's not nice.
And so, does your father still do stand-up comedy today?
Yes, he does. Yeah, no, he still works. He still gets around. Mainly doing cruise ships and stuff like that. But he does still work. He's away working at the moment. So yeah, no, definitely.
And have you ever done any shows with him? You know, maybe that'd be a good angle, wouldn't it?
No, never done any shows with him. I don't know that my sort of shtick would go over well with his crowd.
Can you explain to Gough that I have got no hearing?
Oh, yeah, in some sort of, like, meta irony,
yes.
Bob's side of the panel, because you're in
panel.
Brisbane, he can't actually hear you. He hasn't been able to hear you the whole interview, so he's been deaf, basically, the whole time.
Yes, I was struck deaf as soon as Gough started to talk.
So he hasn't heard anything up until now, and you still can't hear anything.
I can't hear anything.
Yes.
And I'm missing out because I wanted to say something, too, about his daddy. You can... Okay. Translate for me.
Okay, all I'll say is, okay, now you stop talking now, and yes. Father Bob will talk now. That's the best way to
but
deal
you
with
can't
it.
Hear me from this far away, surely.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I've got Bob loud and clear.
He can hear you. You can't hear him. Just talk now, Bob.
Yes, I'm delighted with the film. And the whole idea that you're putting across, that in fact, as the title is, isn't it? What does it say there? I shall not go, I will not go quietly. And it's a marvellous memory for me, myself personally, that Ugly Dave Gray is brought back to life, so to speak.
Yeah, now the interview's kind of in a circle because we kind of talked about that already, but you didn't
hear
it.
I know, but I didn't hear it, you see, so I'm simply asserting myself here as Ugly Dave Gray would himself assert himself, so to speak.
There is more to the film than it's not an Ugly Dave Gray biopic, but he does
feature.
But
I thought the interview was magnificent. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I'm pleased that Bob enjoyed the interview. If you wish to relay that, John,
you're having a good time over there, and I can't hear a damn thing. This is the most enjoyable interview we've had, and I can't hear a rotten thing.
Anyway, tell us more about the film, about the bits that aren't about. You being bitter because you're the son of Ugly Dave Gray and you just want to move on and you know, go on. Tell us. There's really sad stuff in it too, unfortunately.
Well, that is true. It's not all joy and happiness. But like I said earlier, there's a lot about mental health because a lot of people with a disability end up having mental health problems due to one situation or another, not really. Because people don't really understand disability, so they discriminate, but they don't really know that they are discriminating, really. So, you know, they don't mean to be mean, but so as a result, you know, a lot of people with a disability do end up going on to having mental health problems, and that sort of thing happened to myself as well. And so, yeah, no, there are some sad moments, but hopefully
But what do you mean by that? It's like because the way people treat you when you're blind, that makes you depressed or something like that?
Well, there is that, but also because lack of opportunities, because of people not understanding that, you know, just because you can't see very well doesn't mean you can't do things that everybody else can do. So, you know, just like I can make a film, I wasn't able to get funding for other projects that I wanted to do, mainly because people found out I couldn't see. So they were like, well, we don't think that's a good idea to give a blind man money to make a film. So I would hope that this film kind of shows that I can do it. And, you know, other visually impaired and blind people and well, with all disabilities can do things just as good, if not even better than able-bodied people. So, and because they don't get the same kind of opportunities, yeah, they can get depressed and suicide rates are quite high and things like that and unemployment and just there's a lot of nobody really talks about the disability community and the troubles that they go through.
Two things. One, I went to a blind shop. Is that what they're called? You know where you buy stuff that has Braille and all that this stuff?
Yeah.
Is that called a blind shop? No, it's called
for the purposes of this interview, I'm sure it is.
Yeah, okay. So I went there several years ago because I had a friend that had like an eye issue and I drove out there and I bought because I saw that they were selling Braille Scrabble. So yep, I thought, oh, that would be a good present. Then I get there and they are selling it and it's like, so I buy it. But the tiles only have the Braille on it but not the letter printed on it. So rather than that kind of further ghettoizes the blind community, because they can only play it with each other, they can't. And it just seems like, why wouldn't you just spend the extra 3 cents, Hasbro, and stamp on the letter, you know?
No, I would agree with that wholeheartedly, John. I think that was a very foolish idea of the whoever printed them up. I couldn't agree more. I think that's a very alienating thing to do. I think that's not very wise at all, really, yes.
Well, I'm glad we can agree on that. Bob, do you have anything else?
I haven't got anything to say because it sounds like a very interesting interview.
Maybe you can listen to it on the podcast.
Well, I'll have to listen to it myself now, you see. I don't mean any disrespect to Goff.
If people... that's
for not being able to take part in it. In fact, you sound much more, you know, interesting when I'm not here. We might have struck something tonight.
how can people see your film?
If they go to the production company website, it's free to view on the website at www.beernutsproductions.com. So Beernuts, BEERNUTS, beernutsproductions.com. So if people go along there, there's a lot of links there and they can just click and watch the film and hopefully enjoy the film.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, John and Father Bob. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Sunday Night Saffron on Triple D.